Hare Krishna. So we start, continue our discussion of the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So we were discussing the transition from Atma Jnana to Paramatma Jnana. We discussed yesterday, Jnanena Tadabhyanam Yesham Nashitam Atmanah Tesham Adityava Jnanam Prakashay Tatparam. So let's move forward now. Understand what is happening. Okay. So what is happening in the fifth chapter? First section tells about how Karma Yoga is equal to but easier than Jnana Yoga. And that was 1 to 6. 7 to 16 is basically talking about how the Karma Yogi can stay free from bondage by staying detached, by keeping his mind fixed on Atma and understanding that I am different from the body and I am different from the whole mechanism of body, mind and senses which are actually acting in this world. And prakashayati tatparam. So Balde Vidyabhushan explains that in the previous verse, tatparam, that param refers to both the Atma and the Paramatma. The Supreme becomes illuminated. Now of course he clarifies that it is not that the knowledge reveals the thought. Actually, it is the Lord who reveals the knowledge. But here it is saying, prakashayati tatparam. So what he explains is that when we serve the spiritual master, then the knowledge that the spiritual master gives is not jnana, it is a part of bhakti. And that knowledge reveals the spiritual master. Sorry, reveals the Supreme Lord, reveals the param. So now after describing this, Itilla Krishna has told about how you can stay free from bondage. And who is the actual karta? And after telling who is the actual karta, he says, by jnana, you will understand this. Then naturally the question comes up, how will I get the jnana? How will I get the jnana? So Krishna tells four things that we have to do to get the jnana. Tadbuddhayas tadatmanas, tadbuddhayas tadatmanas, tannishthas tatparayanaha,
tannishthas tatparayanaha,
gacchantya punaravrittim,
gacchantya punaravrittim,
Jnana Nirdhuta Kalmashaha.
Jnana Nirdhuta Kalmashaha.
So, here, the Prabhupada's purport starts by focusing on Tat. What is that Tat? Tat may be an ambiguous word, but he says it refers to the Supreme Lord. It can refer, it refers to the Super Soul, it can refer to the Supreme Personality of God also. So, let's go from bottom. What is the result? He says, Gacchanti Apunar Avrittim. One will go to that place from which one will never come back. And how will one go there? By the jnana, one will be nirdhuta kalmashaha. Whatever contaminations are there, they will be washed away by jnana. So what is this jnana? That jnana is what emerges by the practice of karma yoga. So till now, Krishna has been telling about how you should understand that you are not the doer. Be detached. But the focus has been primarily on be detached. Understand that you are the soul. But this is a direct verse which is recommending fixing the mind on something directly. Fixing the mind not just on a principle of detachment, but fix it on something else. So we had Yukta Asita Matparaha in 2.61, then we had Mahi Sarvani Karvani in 3.13. This is similar, although the Tat may not be explicitly clear. But if you look at the context, it will become clear. And later on, in the Bhagavad Gita, it will become even more clear. So Krishna is telling here, the four faculties of our consciousness that we need to fix on the absolute truth. So what are these four faculties? Tad buddhayas tad atmanas tan nishthas tad patayana. Four aspects of fixing consciousness. So when I say I want to fix my consciousness on Krishna, so what does it mean? First Krishna says it means tad buddhayas, fix the intelligence. Then tad atmanas, fix the mind. Tan nishthas, fix the faith. Tad parayanaha, make that as the goal. So actually these four are very important. Now let's look at this. what it means. That put this, maybe we need to close the door, one of the windows at least. Tat buddhayas tadatmanas. So, we know that spiritual advancement begins with buddhi. You cannot practice spiritual life unless there is some basic buddhi. You may do some religious rituals, but the real spiritual life will begin only when there is buddhi. So, tat buddhayas. We need to use our intelligence to actually commence spiritual life. Yes, there is something higher in life which I need to aspire for. So, we start with intelligence. Now, after we start with intelligence, right now for most of us, our intelligence is more or less convinced that, okay, there's not much happiness in self-gratification. The ultimate goal of life is to go back to Godhead. But the mind is not yet convinced. Although we know this is good, but still the mind says, I want to try that also. I want to enjoy that also. And so Krishna, the next step is fix the mind. So generally speaking, when the mind accepts something, it becomes a realization. When mind accepts something, then it becomes a realization. Till that time, it is theory. So that means, let's say now our mind has itself accepted. Okay, meat is terrible. I'll never eat it, whatever happens. There's no battle with the mind to control the desire to eat meat. But the same we may not say maybe for prestige or for sex or whatever else, other things like that. So, when the intelligence accepts it, that is the beginning. When the mind accepts it, that is realization. And then when you go beyond that, there is the faith. So, that means, let's understand this with the example now. Say, if I have a software programmer. A software programmer may fix his intelligence on how that particular code is working and what I need to do, how I need to do this. But, you know, he may fix his intelligence over there and he may expert in that also. But is that what he longs for? Now, as soon as that is over, he will want to go and drink and will watch a cricket match and then fool around with his girlfriend or whatever. So, his intelligence may be engaged over there, but the mind is not there. The intelligence is there, just like most students, they just do their studies. They do their studies because they have to do it. It's their duty. But that's not where their actual longing is. That's not where their heart is.
You can take this example of a student first. Something which you can more easily relate to.
Now, the student fixes his intelligence, but his mind is not fixed. His mind will go here, go there. And as soon as the opportunity gets, go there. Now, beyond that, there may be somebody
who, say, a researcher who loves his work, who loves his research.
Tad buddhayas tadatmanas. So, he not only fixes his intelligence, but actually fixes his mind also over there. Fixes his mind also over there. He says, I want to find out what this is. I want to find out what this is. And he loves his work. At the same time, tadatmanas, the mind will become fixed at that particular time. At the same time, you see, there are many people who may love their research, but ultimately that is not the goal of their lives. Because I like to do research, but I want money. See, if all the scientists, researchers are doing research just for the sake of love of research, will they work without salary? Nobody will work without salary, isn't it? So that means, even when I like something, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm ready to sacrifice everything else for that. Some people say, oh, in the past, they say, you had rishis, now we have scientists. Both are intellectuals, both are exploring the world. But there's a difference. The rishis were detached from the world. The scientists are not detached from the world. Scientists are quite attached, and they want to increase their attachment also. So, actually, it's progressive. And if we go beyond that, a person may study a subject, he may even like the subject, but as far as the matter of faith is concerned, the person doesn't really have deep faith. That means if we are consider here academic scholars of religion, no, they can have a lot of intellectual understanding and they may even simulate some emotions. They say, I like to study Hinduism. I'm not just doing it as a profession. I like to study Hinduism. But you see, do they have faith? Actually, they don't have any faith in that. It's not as if they're doing it for a job. They like it, but I will study something in the world, let me study this. But they don't have faith at all. So that means one may like a subject, one may be intellectually involved in a subject also, but still one may not have faith in the subject. So Radhanath Maharaj tells about an incident how there was this biblical scholar who used to come on television for interviews and everything, and then the Maharaj had gone there, and when he met them, he said, he found, oh, this Jew boy has become a Hare Krishna. Then he started debating with him. And he was debating him for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. And then Maharaj said, you know, I just wish Bhagavita Adivida refute all his arguments. And finally he says, you are so convinced about it. He said, we are lost completely. Actually, as far as I am concerned, actually, where is the evidence that Jesus existed or not? So Maharaj was shocked. Maharaj says, all his arguments did not shake me as we are this particular one. He says, but you have written so many books. You give talks on television. He said, that's my profession. He said, then why did you debate with me for 3 days? He said, that's my entertainment.
Maharaj says, that professor's name was Professor Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. His surname was Maybe. So.
So, somebody may have.
A student, his intelligence is fixed. So, actually, this is all progressive as we move forward. And somebody may have faith. For example, Shukracharya, if we see, he had faith in the Vedic literature. He had faith in the potency of the Vedic literature, but he was not interested in devoting himself to Vishnu. He was not interested in Durvasa Muni also. He went to Vaikuntha, but he did not say, my dear Lord, let liberate me and bring me back home. He just save me from the Sudarshan Chakra. So one may have faith even in the Vedic literature and their working, but one may not perceive that as the goal. See, Durvasa Muni has faith that Vishnu can protect him from the Sudarshan Chakra. But he doesn't have faith, he doesn't want to make Vishnu his goal. But Pururava, you know, he had so much faith that to get Urvashi, he did not think, I will attack heaven with my army. Not Urvashi. Urvashi only Urvashi. So when he wanted Urvashi, he did Yajna. So he had faith in Lord Vishnu. And actually, he did the Yajna, Lord Vishnu came. So he had the faith that if I do Yajna, Vishnu will come. And he also had faith that Vishnu has the power to fulfill my desires. But his goal was not Vishnu. His goal was what? Goal of Urvashi. So when he did the austerity, he had fixed his intelligence, he had fixed his mind, he has made his goal also that. But still, that was not what he was ultimately looking for. So therefore, all these are progressive. So that's why Krishna is saying all four have to be fixed. That Buddha is Tadatmanas, Tadnishthas, Tadparayana. When all four are fixed, then Gacchanti, move rapidly forwards. So normally, for getting material knowledge, normally what we need, Tadbuddhayas, that's all we need. Just put your intelligence in it, you'll understand it. We don't have to put our heart in it, we don't have to put our faith in it. You don't have to do that necessarily. No. There are many scientists who use science for functional purposes. That means they may even teach the theory of evolution, but that doesn't mean they believe in the theory of evolution. And that's my profession, I'll teach that. Their beliefs may be completely different, but they may even become experts in that field. So one can get material knowledge just by Buddhayas, Tadbuddhayas. But spiritual knowledge, devotional knowledge, knowledge about Krishna, that's not just matter of Tadbuddhayas. Tadbuddhayas, Tadatmanas, Tadnishthas, Tadparayana. And all four come together, then we get that knowledge. And then Gacchantya Punaravritti, Jnana Nirdhuta Kalmashaha. So to get knowledge about Krishna, which will purify us, we have to invest all these four things. In one sense, this is verse is elaborating on 4.9. evam yo vetti tatvataha. So what is knowing tatvata? How do we know tatvata? Krishna says we have to do all this. We have to offer our intelligence, offer our mind, offer our faith and make Krishna our goal. So when we do all these four things, then we can move forward. So, how do I write this word?
Okay. Here you will have Shukracharya. And also Gurava. Now the researcher can be here or the researcher can be here also, because you know there are different researchers of different kinds. So some researcher may also have faith that this will work. But still, that is not his ultimate goal. His ultimate goal is what? Okay, I want money, I want fame. I want. So,
actually, scientists who are searching for knowledge itself, see, they are extremely few, extremely few. So, there may be a few, we don't deny that. And one way that people make money, but they are extremely few. Most scientists are motivated by money, by prestige, by power, and therefore these ulterior motives come up quite a bit. So actually Max Planck wrote a book and Einstein wrote a foreword for that book. So in that Einstein said, you know, if the scientists of the world were told that from now on you can do your research but you will not get any salary, he said the only scientists that who will continue to their research are less than a handful, and one of those scientists is Planck. So that's how he appreciated for that. So even they have their ways of appreciating. So, yeah. So what he is saying, he is doing it for the search of knowledge, the search of the truth. So, like that, people are very, very few. Most people are into it for money. So, actually, when we offer all these four things, then there is the idea that one can get complete knowledge, one can get proper knowledge of Krishna. Now, Krishna will describe in the next verse. In the previous verse, is prakashyati tatva. He says, everything will become clear to you when you get that knowledge. This verse says, how will you get that knowledge? Next verse will describe how, what will one see when one gets that knowledge. So one will get the knowledge, but when one gets the knowledge, what will one see? That it is
in the
famous
verse.
So yeah, that's why now, actually, what is this describing? When I'm saying he has faith, but that is not his goal. So that's why he will not come there. That's why I was hesitating where to put what. Actually, I should have a chart, and if you put this ticket like that. So in something is goal, we can put Srila Prabhupada over here. We can put say pure devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, his heart, mind, everything. Mahajanas we can put over here in the last category. So next verse is quite well known.
Vidya-vinaya-sampanne
Brahmane-gavi-hastini
Brahmane-gavi-hastini
Shunichaiva-shvapakecha
Shunichaiva-shvapakecha
Pandita-samadarshinaha
Pandita-samadarshinaha.
So, such a Pandita-samadarshinaha, he sees equally everyone. So, who are the witnesses equally? Not just human beings, but also animals, all of them. So Vidya Vinaya Sampanne, now this can apply sometimes to the Panditaha, it can sometimes apply to the Brahmane. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane. So now Srila Prabhupada applies it to both. So, you know, Pandita Samdarshina, so he says Vidya Vinaya. He said what it does in his translation, learned and gentle. So, Vidya Vinaya. But then he says humble sage by the virtue of true knowledge. So, he puts that adjective for both. That's valid. He put it, different acharyas put it in different ways. Then, from the little position, it will go to the Brahmana. You can apply over here also. Remember, Prabhupada does that in 1.2 also. When Duryodhana goes there, Raja Vachinam Abravit. So he says that Raja is actually referring to it can refer to Dhritarashtra, Rudra is speaking, and it can refer to Duryodhana also. So like that, the same adjective can be applied to different. There is nothing inconsistent in it. From the position, we can say it is to Brahmana. And what is it illustrating? It is actually, this verse is illustrating the whole panorama of the three modes of material nature. So, avidya vinaya sampanna brahmana will be at the right at the top. You know, at the topmost level of goodness. Not transcendental, but at the topmost level of goodness. Then gavi, a cow, is also in the mode of goodness. Then hastini, where is the elephant? Elephant can be in passion or generally in passion. Now, there is a verse in which Gajendra says that actually I am in ignorance. He says, I am in ignorance, so please, I don't know. Please free me from this body. But that is referring not so much to specifically the mode of ignorance. Actually, all animals are considered to be in ignorance. So, actually, how it is, all animals are in ignorance, and within ignorance, there is gradation. All animal bodies are in ignorance. So, we can say that, say, a cow is in ignorant goodness, and a monkey is in ignorant ignorance, and a tiger is in ignorant passion. The common denominator of ignorance is there for all animals because they are in the bodily conception of life. But within that ignorance also there are grades. So here the elephant is in
passion. And the dog and the dog eater are in ignorance. Equal vision towards the full spectrum. You know, spectrum means something which is having a wide variety within it. So, mode of goodness, who all is there? Brahmana, Gavini, cow. Then we have mode of passion. Brahmane, Gavi, Hastini. Shunichaiva, Shapakeja, Hastini. Hastini is the elephant. In mode of ignorance, Shuni Chaiva Shapake. Shuni is the dog. Shwapake. Shwapake is
dog eater, yeah. Actually, pak means to cook. Shwapake, one who cooks the dog. It literally means like that. One who cooks the dog and eats. Shwapake. Shuni Chaiva Shapake. Panditaha Sabadarshidaha. So, what does such a person do? He sees all of them equally. Now what is he saying equally? He sees, Prabhupada explains both in the purport. He says that ultimately beyond the variety of their bodies, there is a similarity of their souls. That can be one level of equal vision. Another level of equal vision can be beyond the similarity of their along with the similarity of the souls, there is also the same super soul is present among all. So if Param, as Baldev Devi says, refers to both Atma and Paramatma, then this verse will also refer to both. So he sees the soul, basically he sees spirit beyond matter. So matter is very variegated over here, but he sees the spirit beyond matter, and because he sees the spirit is similar, so he has an equal vision. Now the equal vision does not necessarily mean equal reciprocation. Equal vision is not equal reciprocity. Prabhupada says, yes, even the tiger in the jungle is also a soul, is also dear to Krishna. But that doesn't mean that I will go and embrace the tiger.
Isn't it?
If I embrace the tiger, say, then things will not, I will not be left to embrace anyone else after that.
Equal vision. Can we put not equal to in this? Strike through. Isn't it working? It won't go through this, na? Not. Just write not. Okay.
This one.
This means not equal to? Okay, sorry? In C language.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. So,
equal vision is not equal to?
Is not the same as equal reciprocation. You reciprocate differently. So, some people say that there is caste discrimination in Hinduism. Now, the Bhagavad Gita talks about the caste system, it talks about varnashram, but it also talks about equal vision. So, we recognize that there is material diversity and there is spiritual equality. There is these two, at a material level there is diversity, which we cannot deny. At a spiritual level, there is equality, which also is important to recognize. So, we'll discuss elaborately about this maybe in the 18th chapter when Krishna talks about the four varnas. We'll talk about what all the advantages of varnashram are. I have a full PPT on this. Maybe if you get time, we'll discuss that. So, here the principle is, although the scriptures do talk about variety, it's also talking about unity beyond the variety, unity that underlies the variety. And seeing the unity is seen as a sign of intelligence. One who sees the unity is called as a panditaha. So the same Bhagavad Gita which said, don't give up your dharma. Shreyaan so dharma viguna paradharma asamushra. 3.35 it said. Actually to give up your dharma is bhayavah, it's terrible. And that dharma is referring to if you are a Vaishya, act as a Vaishya. If you are a Brahman, act as a Brahman. It's telling that. But same Bhagavad Gita is telling that if you don't see beyond the body of the soul, one is not intelligent. That means it's a transitional stage. That if I am diseased, I have to see who has which disease and how that person can be cured. So basically a Brahmana's prescribed duties are the way to free the Brahmana from his condition. A Kshatriya's prescribed duties are the way the Kshatriya becomes free from his conditions. So now I understand everybody is potentially spiritual. Everybody is potentially pure. But right now everybody is not at the same level. And everybody needs different kinds of treatment so that they can be purified. So the Bhagavad Gita here is talking about a person who is healthy, who is spiritually recovered. He sees everyone equal. But the same Bhagavad Gita also tells that you do your dharma. So the point here is that we can use the word discrimination. There is discrimination, but the discrimination is not to reinforce a perpetual discrimination. It's not that forever you have to be lower. Actually, ultimately everybody can be elevated. But in the transition, there has to be change. Just like if I go to a hospital, I cannot have a standard treatment for everyone. Hey, why are you giving him surgery for him and why are you giving pills for me? No, different people have different diseases, so different treatments are required. So, the Varna Dharma, the Ashram Dharma, they are different because they are all different forms of treatment. But one has to recognize both, that I have my original spiritual nature and I have my present material condition. So, when I look at my present material conditioning, I have to act according to the condition. Or I act according to what is necessary for purifying that condition. And at the same time, I also have to see that there is a pure spiritual nature. So, when both are seen properly, then there is proper understanding. The Bhagavad Gita says, okay, that the person sees all of them also, but then he sees that they are equal also. So, Panditaha Samadarshi. So, now Krishna says in the next verse that one who has seen this, one who sees this, who has this vision, such a person has actually conquered material existence. This equal vision is a success in spiritual life at one level. Iha yuvatai jita sargo.
Iha yuvatai jita sargo.
Yesham samye sthitam manah.
Yesham samye sthitam manah.
Nirdosham hi samam brahma.
Nirdosham hi samam brahma.
Tasmad brahmani te sthitah.
Tasmad brahmani te sthitah.
So, iha yuva. One who has, iha yuva means in this world itself. Tair. Tair refers to that person who was talked about in the previous. Pandita Asandarshan. Jitaha is one over sarga. Sarga is material existence. He has conquered over material existence. Who has conquered? What is his defining character? Samye sitam mana. He is situated in equality. he has learned to see the spiritual tattva beyond the material temporary coverings. Nirdosham, he is free from the faults, he is not contaminated by the three modes. Samam Brahma, he is equivalent to Brahman, and he is actually situated in Brahman. Situated in Brahman. So that means that actually this vision of equality will come when we situate ourselves in Brahman. Even when we situate in goodness, we will not get this vision completely. Because in goodness, also we see, okay, this is pure, this is impure. This person is knowledgeable, this person is ignorant. So, but when we come to the transcendental platform, we will perceive it completely. We perceive it properly. We perceive it properly. Now at this level, one may not perceive Krishna in his full glory. One is perceiving Atma Tattva properly, but one is not perceiving Krishna in full glory. To perceive Krishna in full glory will require bhakti. Bhaktya maujanati yavanyaschasmitattva. It's only by bhakti. But here also, one can come to this level by through Atma Gyan and through some level of Paramatma Gyan. So now, till now, Krishna has only described the theoretical progression of the vision. Krishna, in all these verses, has not explicitly described much of sadhana. You see from the verse 16 onwards, 15 onwards, he's telling that now the take a sacchit papam. The person does not accept the sins, and then you, when you get this knowledge, you become purified. So now, specific sadhana is not described. In 17 verses, he described the buddha. So invest all of these. That can be called a sadhana. But what is the method? If you look at that, it's fixing all four, that is very close to bhakti. First, to make the goal, to put the heart, to put the faith, to put the intelligence. It is almost like bhakti. Now, that means, even if the Brahmavadis have the idea they want to merge into Brahman, but even they have to invest their heart, they have to invest their mind, they have to invest their intelligence. So that they also have to do that. So now, from the next verse onward, from here, 20th, to the end of the chapter, Krishna will be describing the sadhana, the means by which one can come to this level. Because this verse is nothing given the summit. We have conquered material existence. Okay, but how can one come to the level of conquering material existence? Krishna will describe that. So now the subsequent verses are in one sense at two levels. At one level, they are describing the person who is Siddha. They are describing the person who is at that level, and they are also describing how we need to behave to come to that level. Just like we had the Sita Pragya section, second chapter. So then Krishna says that Rajahati Adana Kaman Sarvan Parthamanogatan. He says, okay, give up all material desire and be satisfied with the answer. Now this is, say, at the same time, a characteristic naturally possessed by a Siddha and a characteristic to be cultivated by a sadhaka. So both are there in this. So the verses onwards, they have this dual feature. Characteristics naturally possessed by Siddha and characteristics consciously cultivated by Sadhaka. The pure devotee has a natural attraction to Krishna, but we act as if we are trying to cultivate that attraction to Krishna. By that we get attraction. So let's look at what are these characteristics are. So in one sense, this is like Vaidhi Bhakti, Raghunanga Bhakti. At level of Vaidhi Bhakti, we chant attentively and diligently because that is the instruction of the spiritual master. At the level of Raghunanga Bhakti, we actually have that attraction to Krishna. Something like that. There are differences, of course, because bhakti is quite detailed, and there are some technical stages, but in broad principles. So Krishna describes how one can get that samye sitam manaha. How can one come to that level of being situatedly equipoised? He discusses practical things we can do. Na prahrishe priyam prapya,
na prahrishe priyam prapya,
no dvije prapya cha priyam,
no dvije prapya cha priyam,
sthira buddhi rasam moodho,
sthira buddhi rasam moodho,
brahma ved brahmani sthitaha,
brahma ved brahmani sthitaha.
So, na prahrishe priyam prapya, such a person does not delight when he gets what he likes. No dvije prapya cha priyam. A person doesn't lament when he loses what he, when he gets something which he doesn't like. And what is this kind of sthira buddhi? Buddhi is fixed. Tad buddhaya, that was there. Sthira buddhi. Buddhi is fixed. And because his buddhi is fixed, he is asammoodho. Moodha is one who is bewildered by matter and material things. He is asammoodho. If we have this characteristic, he is, Krishna is actually taking it in an emphatic way. He is Brahmavid. He knows Brahman. No, he not just knows Brahman. He is Brahmanisthita, situated in Brahman. He is not just a knower of Brahman. He is actually a person who has realized Brahman, situated in Brahman. So, this is what we can aspire for to come to that level. Now, the theme of these verses is similar to what was there in Dukhesham Dignamana Sukhesham Gatasvara. So, this is something which Krishna will repeat again and again. Be equipoised in happiness and distress. Why? Because if Arjuna, Arjuna is going to lamenting about the killing of his relatives, and he's thinking that, oh, even if I win, what will be the gain from it? So he says, no, don't bother about gain, don't bother about loss. Focus on purification. Focus on purification. Atma Shuddhaye, that was what I talked about in the 11th verse. So now Krishna will describe, if one has to be equipoised like this towards externals, what does one need? So this verse says, be equipoised. But how can one become equipoised like this? Krishna says, if one has to be equipoised towards externals, then one has to focus on the internals. That's what it does in the next verse. Bahya sparsheshva sattatma,
bahya sparsheshva sattatma,
vindatyatmani yat sukham,
vindatyatmani yat sukham,
sabrahma yoga yuktatma,
sabrahma yoga yuktatma,
sukham akshayam ashnate,
sukham akshayam ashnate.
So, the previous verse A and B part that were there, that is summarized in A of this. Bahya sparsheshva asattatma. So bahaya is external, sparsha means contact, so external stimuli. Sparsha can mean specifically contact with the skin, or it can mean all senses in a broad way. So all external stimuli, a person is detached. Bahaya sparsheshu asattatma is detached. And then what does he do? All of us are pleasure seeking. We have to get pleasure somewhere. Vindati atmani yat sukham. One gets pleasure within. Vindati. Now how to get that pleasure, what does one need to do? Sa brahma yogi. The person has to become Brahma Yoga Yuktatma. Prabhupada writes, translates Brahma Yoga Yuktatma as one who concentrates on the Supreme. So, actually, we have to do, like for example, if we are doing kirtans, you know, if we are just too caught up, who is coming, who is going, what is happening, we can't absorb ourselves in kirtans. So, bahya sparsheshva sattatma. Along with that, okay, concentrate on the holy name. I recite the holy name and focus on my mind. So, Sa Brahma Yoga Yuktatma. Now there is no particular path called Brahma Yoga. It's Karma Yoga, Gyan Yoga. Here what is Krishna saying? He's using the word Brahma. That there is Brahma is the absolute truth. Yoga Yuktatma. The soul who is engaged in yoga which will connect him with Brahma. That is Prabhupada simply translated that as concentration. One who concentrates on this. So what will happen by that? Sukham Akshayam Ashnute. So actually in one sense this verse is describing the progression. First is become detached from externals. Second is seek inner happiness. Third is concentrate inwards. And fourth will be you will relish unlimited happiness. Sukham akshayam ashnute. So in one sense this is one of my favorite verses in the Gita. Actually this describes the a similar progression we talked about in 2.61. So what is the first thing he is saying? Detached from externals. Bahya sparsheshva asaktatma. Then vindati atmani yat sukham. That means seek happiness within. Somebody may say, I'm seeking happiness within, I can't find anything.
What do I look for in it? There's nothing to see. No, what is it?
Concentrate. And then, after one concentrates,
so, this is what conversation of Prabhupada. Prabhupada says that somebody comes and tells Prabhupada, I think it's the morning walking up, Swami, why does one need to study books? He says, you can just look within and you'll find God. Prabhupada says, when you look within, unless you study books, you will not know what to look for within.
What do you do when you look within?
This is a very attractive phrase. Okay, look within, seek within. But what do you do with it? Actually, if you just calm down and you have no knowledge, a lot of people understand what look within means.
Actually,
the way to look within is by connecting with Krishna's manifestation at this level. How do I probe with words? When I chant Hare Krishna, although I'm actually verbalizing, but that name of Krishna is not different from Krishna who is within my heart. So when I chant Hare Krishna, that holy name is like a bridge by which my consciousness is going towards Krishna inwards. So if I don't know where to, what to look for inside and how to do, just looking within, it will not be of much use. There has to be a process for that. But when one does this process, one will get the result. So now, here, Krishna anticipates a question. He says, okay, Vahya Svasheshva Sattatma, how can one become detached like this? There are so many alluring objects for pleasure in this world. He says, no, those objects only lead to misery. The well-known verse. Every devotee knows this verse. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga.
Yehi samsparshaja bhoga.
Dukkhayonaya evate.
Dukkhayonaya evate.
Adyantavantah kaunteya.
Adyantavantah kaunteya.
Nate shuramate buddha.
Nate shuramate buddha.
So, Krishna previously said, Bahya sparshesha sattama. This verse is the expansion of that. How can one become asakta, how can one become detached? By understanding that it is all going to result in misery. A wise person, a buddhaha, he understands that actually sense pleasure simply leads to misery. And because it leads to misery, so I'll become detached. Nate shuramate. Doesn't delight in it. The word here significant is he doesn't delight in it. We will have to engage our senses. We can't avoid engaging our senses. You know, when we can't walk along the street with closed eyes. We have to eat food also. So we have to engage ourselves. But he doesn't delight in that. He seeks delight elsewhere. He seeks delight in Mindati Atmani Atsuka. He seeks happiness inwards. Now now different acharyas analyze this verse in different ways. The contact of senses and sense organs. Samsparsha Jaha Bhoga. So the next two lines can either refer to two distinct problems or they can refer to the same problem. And the bhoga leads to is dukkha yonaya evate. Now the word yonaya is related to yoni, is womb. So the word yoni indicates that material happiness, material enjoyment is pregnant with misery. Pregnant. You know what is pregnant? Pregnant is something is going to be delivered. It's pregnant with misery. It's dukkha yoni, Krishna says. So, material enjoyment is pregnant with misery and abortion is not possible.
He can't abort. The pregnancy is there, delivery will have to be there.
So, dukkha yonaya evate. Actually, it's a womb of misery. Now, how is it a womb of misery? Now, we can say that actually material enjoyment leads to, it's a karmic reaction, it leads to continuation of birth and death. That is a misery. So, that can be one understanding. The second would be that it is going to lead to misery because it is adyantavantaha. So Patanjali in the Yoga Sutras explains why a person should try for pratyahara? Why one should sweat out some objects? Actually, Krishna is bahya sparshesya asaktatma, is something similar to pratyahara, sweating out of sense objects. So he says,
Vishaya leads to Krishna and Shoka.
So it leads to Krishna. I want more, I want more, I want more, I want more. And when I get it, it is temporary. So when it gets over, it is Shoka. It leads to lamentation. So material enjoyment, sense gratification, like a...
Let's try to draw the diagram over here. All of us are eating a sandwich, isn't it? The sandwich of misery. What is the meaning of sandwich of misery? Okay, what I want to draw now is, so if I pursue enjoyment, first what I get is hankering. And after that, a thin layer of pleasure. And then there is lamentation. Oh, it's over.
So there is hankering, and will I get it, and will I get it, will I get it, and finally I get it, there's a little enjoyment. And after that, oh, it's over now. It's over, oh, it got over. There's lamentation. And as if there's not bad enough, sometimes the sandwich doesn't have anything in between.
That means, you remember, I don't have fit, FIT, futility, insubstantial, temporality. Sometimes, there's no enjoyment only. So there's only hankering and lamentation.
So, actually speaking, this is what material life is. Adi antavantaha kaunteya, nate shuramate buddha. There's hankering, there is a little pleasure sometimes, and then there is lamentation. Therefore, a wise person understands that, let me not get involved in this. Let me not get involved in this. Because, nate shuramate buddha. Now, if this were just at the level of knowledge without a higher taste, it would be torture. It would simply be torture. But when there is higher taste, then it is practically feasible. But even when one is doing this, still it's not easy. So then Arjuna actually gets a question over here. Okay, I know that sense gratification leads to misery. But just by that knowledge, the desires don't go away. So what to do about that? So then Krishna answers the next verse. Tolerate the desires.
Shaknoti hai kaya sodhum.
Shaknoti hai kaya sodhum.
Rakshareer vimokshanat.
Rakshareer vimokshanat.
Kama krodhodbhavam
vegam. Kama krodhodbhavam
vegam. Sayukta sa sukhi narah.
Sayukta sa sukhi narah.
Shaknoti. Or if it is possible for you, Arjuna. Yah sodhum. Sodhum means toleration. If it is possible, Arjuna, for you to tolerate, but till when I have to tolerate? Till the moment of death. Prak sharir moksha. That is the challenge. Till the moment of death, the desires will keep coming, you have to keep saying no. Which desires? Kama, krodha, udbhavam, vegam. The vega that comes from kama and krodha. So we see that these are the two obstacles that track Vishwamitra. First, Menaka came and he fell to kama. Then second time, Ramba came and he fell to Krodha. So Krishna is saying, go beyond Kama, Krodha, Bhavandi. Go beyond both of them. And if one can go beyond both of them, Krishna says there are two fruits of that. Sa Yuktaha, Sa Sukhi Naraha. Such a person will be Yukta and such a person will be Sukhi. This is interesting fruits.
Thank you.
Taha means? Will be connect. Yukta basically comes from the word connect. Yoga, it means to connect. So to be connected with Krishna. So we'll be connected with Krishna. We'll stay in Krishna conscious practice if we can tolerate. If we can't tolerate the urges will drag us out of Krishna consciousness. And then he says, not only will Yukta will be Sukhi. So now we may wonder, if I'm tolerating my material desires, how can I get happiness? Actually, that happiness comes because even at a material level, the mind becomes peaceful. And there is some level of satisfaction that comes. So this sukhi need not be the transcendental happiness. But even when a person is regulated, a person is a drunkard, then always, when will I get to drink? When will I get to drink? When will I get to drink? That keeps agitating the mind. But when a person is not a drunkard, that indifference, that lack of agitation itself is a big relief. And Krishna also says that sattvam sukhe sanjayati, that in happiness at the material level, in goodness, and in goodness also we get some happiness. So we will get happiness even in this world if we control our senses. So, I'll conclude with a very interesting thought experiment by a person that you might know. His name was Blaise Pascal. If you know him?
Pascal was
a physicist who came up with explaining about the distribution of pressure within objects. Quite a well-known scientist. He was also a devout Christian. So, he had something called Pascal's Wager. So actually Prabhupada also puts the same thing. See basically, wager means he says it's a gamble. So fear? So basically what he was trying to analyze and show is that we will always be better off by regulating our mental enjoyment. Let's see. Rather. So, suppose there are two eventualities here. So, first possibility is God exists and I don't enjoy this world. Then what will be the result? I'll get the kingdom of God. Isn't it? So, now the last option is, or let's take another option, God exists, God doesn't exist, and I enjoy this world. Then there is no problem. Because God doesn't exist, so this is the world that I have. I should enjoy this world. Now, God doesn't exist and I don't enjoy this world. That's one possibility. And the possibility that God exists and I enjoy this world, not when you're talking about enjoyment, you're not talking about the regulated material enjoyment. You're talking about gross sinful material enjoyment. So this will lead to
hell.
So now when you come to these three options, So now here these four possibilities are there. So I had written an article about this in my book Science and Spirituality. And Dr. Prabhupada said the same thing. So now here, if God doesn't exist and I don't enjoy the world, then I am a fool. Because this enjoyment, this world is the only place that is offering me enjoyment. This life is all that I have. And I give up this enjoyment for some future enjoyment in some other world. So, I'll simply suffer by it. Isn't it? So, these are the four options that are there now. So this seems to be very logical. Now, he brings a very interesting argument here. He says that, okay, by following the scriptures which are given by God, what are we losing and what are we gaining? What are we losing and what are we gaining? So he says, actually, if people follow the laws that are given by God, people will develop good qualities and have the good life even in this world. They'll be peaceful, they'll be satisfied, they'll be helpful, we'll have a good society in this world also. And on the other hand, when, for example, there is no chastity among husband and wife, there is no trustworthiness in business, there is rampant materialism, and as a patient cannot trust a doctor. When there is rampant materialism, unregulated material enjoyment will lead to misery even in this world. Rampant materialism will lead to misery even in this world. So he says that by going in for unregulated enjoyment, what will happen is we will simply suffer in this world. So now the only issue is that if I am giving up the gross material enjoyment of this world, is what I am getting in return for that in this world better or worse? So because the real issue is, okay, if God exists in the next world, then it's wonderful. If I believe in Him and follow Him, it's wonderful. If God doesn't exist, then I follow His rules and regulations. So if we see the first case, if God exists, then it's very clear what I should do. I should follow God. Because I'll gain, otherwise I'll lose. But if God doesn't exist, then I follow whatever is given in the scriptures. Then by following what is given in the scriptures, I am going to lose something. What is it that I lose? I lose gross sense enjoyment. But then do I get something in return for that? I get a more refined way of living. And that itself is joyful. So, he says that therefore, actually speaking, regulating us in the according to scriptures, we have nothing to lose. Because even at a material level, we'll get a greater gain than what is available through gross sense gratitude. And the crucial point in this logic is, actually Prabhupada also uses the same logic. You know that story, that a person asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, you are serving Krishna throughout your life, what will happen if at the end of your life, if there is no Krishna? Prabhupada said, still we'll chant Hare Krishna because we are so happy in this world. He said, we are chanting, dancing, singing, feasting. We are happy even in this world. Now, of course, Prabhupada is just using this for argument's sake. So, then he says, what if you don't serve Krishna and you find at the end there is Krishna in there? So you will have to suffer. You will have to suffer. So now, the point is here, the crucial point to understand is that in a regulated life there is enjoyment that can be understood only by a person who has goodness. If a person does not have some basic level of goodness, the life of regulation, it will seem like torture.
So you know that there was this devotee. There are many incidents within the history of our movement for which we don't have documentation. But our history was so amazing that it's quite possible that they are too. There was this devotee who was distributing books in the street, and then the police said this is illegal. So they caught him and took him to the court. And in the court, he was telling, okay, why are you distributing this? What is your belief? He started telling how, you know, we wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and we follow the 4 a.m. principle, we chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds and all this, he said. And the judge said, release him. He said, why? He said, why? Actually, the life he is living now is worse than what he will live in a prison. So they couldn't appreciate it at all.
But actually, the life is joyful. So it's only when there is goodness, some level of goodness, then a person can appreciate it. Even at the material level, the life is joyful. The material level, the life is joyful. But when there is no goodness, then the person just can't appreciate it. Then the person, why are you sacrificing so much enjoyment of this world? So it is to the extent we start practicing goodness. Initially, we start practicing Krishna consciousness. We feel, okay, maybe I'm taking such a big step, you know, giving up everything of this world for practicing Krishna consciousness. It's natural to have some doubt, does Krishna exist or not? Is the spiritual world there? But as we keep practicing, we start seeing that actually, what to speak of the next world? Even in this world, I'm happier. I'm happier than what I was before. There is surely the agitation of the mind. See, we are troubled by the mind, materialistic people are troubled by the mind. What is the difference between the way the mind is troubling us and the way the mind is troubling materialistic people? What is the difference? Materialistic people, we have so many desires to give up. The desires keep coming. Oh, I have to give it up, I have to give it up. But materialistic people have so many desires to fulfill. And both are tortures. See, the mind is not going to live when materialistic people are. For us, there are so many desires to give up. For them, there are so many desires to fulfill. But the difference between the two is,
let's complete this quickly. Materialists, so many desires to fulfill. And spiritualists, so many desires to reject.
So now the difference between the two is,
this is going to be endless. This is going to end.
So
the mind torments everyone.
The mind torments materialists, the mind torments spiritualists. Actually, even if a person is wealthy enough to enjoy whatever he wants, but still the person cannot enjoy everything that is there for enjoying. When a person is wealthy enough, okay, whatever food he wants, he can get it and enjoy it. He is wealthy enough, whichever woman he wants, he can enjoy it. But still, the body has its limited capacity. So the mind will torment everyone. And the example of this is Hiranyakashipu. To control the full universe, every enjoyment he had, but still he was dissatisfied. Because always there will be desires to fulfill. So, the difference between the material and spiritual life is that both are being tormented, but the torment of the materialist will never end. Because if they fulfill desires, the desire is going to grow. And the desire grows, it will come again and it will come in stronger. But on the other hand, as devotees, when we tolerate the desire, we reject the desire, gradually the desire goes away. The desire goes away. And then the struggle ends. So, therefore, Jayadat Maharaj quotes this and that. Spiritual life is difficult, but material life is impossible. Spiritual life is difficult, but material life is impossible. Why is it impossible? Because there are so many desires which will always keep coming again and again and again for all time to come, as long as they exist. And it's not only going to end when this life ends. It's going to continue on even after this life. That's why Sasukham. So what is that? Sayukta Sasukhina Raha. A devotee, a transcendental is happy even in this life. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Shukun Paal ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vinda ki jai. Gaur Jumaan. Shukun Paal ki jai. Shukun Paal ki jai.
आप्नोति।